Hey, rear view mirrors. Smaller than the windshield. Amen. All right. You guys think we're leaving?
I'm staying. I'm not.
Yeah. Be careful about treating people too good. You won't be able to get rid of them. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm happy you guys set a record for your church. Set a record for us too.
Amen.
And we are so humbled. I don't even know what to say about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. My church, when they get that tithe check, they're going to be happy. Amen. Amen. All right. You want to say anything?
No.
Yeah, you better.
I can't say anything.
I'm going to start crying. Just say
something. Turn on your mic.
As long as you hold on to him, he'll hold on to you.
Amen.
And as long as he'll hold on to you, as long as he has you in your hand, you won't let go.
Amen. Amen. You, yes or no? No? Is your mic on?
Yeah, it's on. It's on.
It's not on.
You're on.
We hear it. I ain't moving until I hear it.
I don't need to be heard. Okay, here, Mike.
We got a lot of experts in this room.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah. Amen.
I can't hear myself. Anyway.
All right. So, go. I know. I'm cool.
I wanted to say how it was such a blessing to walk back in here again and how everybody just really quickly made us feel like we had never been gone.
Yeah. Amen.
It's a real blessing to have friends on the road.
Yes.
And to have, just walk in and have it be like a home church feeling.
Amen.
Really, that's what I missed when we went into evangelism was my church family.
Yes.
And sometimes we didn't, don't feel sorry for me, I'm just saying, it's not everywhere that you have that feeling again. And maybe we have to have those dry times so that we can appreciate when we come in and everybody greets you and so kind. And all the folks that took us out to eat, and we just got to spend time and deepen our friendships and get to know each other better, get to know new folks. It was just
Amen.
Great. I think I gained 25 pounds. To do something about that. But thank you all and for your generosity. And I could go on and on. I have been blessed by being here.
Amen.
I wish I knew every one of your names. I wish I knew every one of your prayer requests. But you're really special folks.
Amen. Amen. Believe me, we could go on and on. And it'd be sincere.
Right.
Just
right.
Like that. Amen. All right. Now, see if she'd give me a different song this time. Oh,
yeah, it is.
Okay. Thanks for putting up with our singing. Help us out, Lord.
Amen.
When he moves among us and all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, pen of a writer can write every day. Even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves. On my back, shoes on my feet, I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God.
arms that will raise, and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed.
A father and mother, nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers, memories made. A pastor to lead us,
his altar to pray.
Stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves. I have been blessed.
Help us out if you know it.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of me.
Got a bunch of them. For the first responders, law enforcement, firemen, paramedics, people that they answer a call and they don't know what they're going to. Sometimes they don't make it home. And we need to remember them, so that's what this one's for. Go ahead.
We live in a country, the greatest on earth. The flag stands for freedom. What it is worth. She stands in the harbor. Miss Liberty calls. All gave some, and some gave it all. So we could be blessed.
Don't forget about him.
He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down. The rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed. Place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. Thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Susan and I have been blessed with over a decade-long friendship with this church. And you set a good example of Bible Christians. It is an honor and a privilege for us to be asked to come. You know, you get an invitation based on a recommendation, but the second one has got to be because of some kind of connection. And I'm glad that God has seen fit to let us be part of this, because you are part of us. And so thank you. Amen. Amen, amen. Don't blow it. Is that what you said? That is what you said. I'll try, honey. Thank you.
What a wife.
What a wife. So we're doing good. Don't blow it now. Take your Bible tonight. Open it to Mark. Book of Mark. Chapter 2. What a blessing.
Amen.
To see, you don't even know what I'm going to say. To see Pedro baptized this morning. Amen. He got saved on my birthday. Amen. Joel introduced me to him, and then it was off to the races from there, wasn't it? And he wanted to get baptized while we were still here. And what a privilege to get to see that. It was a privilege for you to get to see that. Because it's the prayers, it's everything working together. Like Brother Brian made real clear this morning, we are labors together with God. And it's neat when it comes to fruition, God gives the increase, and that's where it starts. But then the next step is following the Lord, and baptism's one of the steps, and getting in the church and learning to get in the Bible. And what a ride, man. I got involved in a lot of things, and I was a little risk taker and like adventure. And after a few years of being saved, I thought, man, I should have started this earlier. This is more fun than anything I ever did. I'm serious. This is the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. Amen. People that are bored with their Christianity are not, there's a problem. Amen. So it's good for us because we go places that are not as exciting as this. The people aren't as excited. And we try to stir them up and encourage them a little bit.
Amen.
But it's refreshing to come to a place like this. And we have got help this week. I'm iron. That's right. And iron sharpeneth iron.
Yeah.
But it's a two-way street. And you guys sharpened us, like my wife said. All right. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Of course, the he is him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, and news of his whereabouts traveled fast. It was noised that he was in the area, that he was in the house. And they didn't have social media back then. They didn't have telephones. I mean, word traveled by mouth, and it traveled fast. Amen. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And I mentioned it this week. People came from near and far to hear the Lord Jesus Christ for a variety of reasons, many for just for curiosity's sake. He was doing what nobody had ever done before. Some folks to get in on what he was doing as far as miracles or healing or feeding. Some came to find fault with him. In our passage, you look down at verse 6 and it says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? You know, they were right.
Yes, sir.
With the wrong attitude.
Amen.
And the wrong motive. You know what that equals? You miss it.
Oh, yes.
Verse 3 says this. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, palsy, by definition, is loss of voluntary muscular motion. Paralysis. So that's what this guy's got. Some of you might have heard of Bell's palsy. That's more common. I had Bell's palsy. I woke up probably from a binge in about a month before I got arrested. And the side of my face, like right here, was getting numb. It felt like Novocaine wearing off after you've been to the dentist. And with all the junk I was putting in my body, I just figured that'd wear off. And it didn't wear off. And ended up being a pinched cranial nerve after an MRI that your tax dollars, well, Ohio's tax people paid for. No, I was federal. Your tax dollars paid for my MRI. And I had paralysis of the right side of my face. So my eyeball doesn't, none of the muscles work. My eye stuck wide open and my face is drooping and I can't feel anything. And I would talk and spit and not even really realize that. I'd bite the inside of my lip. I mean, bite it and not feel it. So when I'm talking, blood is running down. It's kind of scary. Not for me. And I drink, after I got saved, I still had it. And I'd take a drink of coffee, you know, and it'd run out of sight. I was a sight, boy. it got worse and worse. When I got arrested, I had that going on. So I got a terrible attitude because I didn't make bond. And then I got all this going on. So it worked to my advantage and nobody messed with me. Amen. I look like Quasimodo, you know, rawr, rawr, you know. Amen. I had an attitude to match. Amen.
That's
all right. So I had Bell's palsy. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, we talked about the press the other night, people crowding him, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. We're talking about those in verse 3, those four.
Amen.
That's who he's talking about. And verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, that's those four. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Father, again, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, God, that we can do that. Father, thank you for the Spirit of God that bears witness to your word. And thank you, God, for saving us that are saved. Thank you, God, that you're willing to save anybody that's here.
Thank you, Lord.
That may not be.
Yes.
Yet. We know what your desire is. And the Bible says that you would have all men come to the saving knowledge of your Son.
Yes.
Help us to be a vessel. Help them people to Christ. Father, I love you tonight. Pray that you'd allow us to close this meeting out with something that would encourage these folks to just purpose in their heart to stay in the fight. There's a lot of bad fights in this life, but there's a good one. Help us to focus and just stay in the battle until you call us home. Pray that be soon, but more than that, help us to be found faithful when it does come, and it will come. I love you, Lord. Bless this church and their friendship and their kindness to us. And may we just continue to serve together as co-laborers for your cause until you wrap it up. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so this Bible says that this guy that's being carried by four has he's sick of the palsy, but he doesn't have Bell's palsy. I mean, that's as close as I can come to illustrating it with that word, because this guy doesn't have paralysis on the side of his face. This guy's got, he's immobile. He's bedridden. He couldn't have gotten to where Jesus was without help. And he needed a lot of help. Amen. And thank God he had some. The Bible records there up in verse 3 that he was born of four. That means four men were helping him. And doesn't say whether they were friends or relatives. Doesn't give any details, but it tells us what they did. Here's what we know about the verses that we already read. They weren't quitters.
Amen.
I mean, so whatever the relationship was, they helped carry this guy to where Jesus was. It was noisy, it was in the house, but when they got there, they couldn't get to him. It was crowded. There were people around. I remember preaching in La Laguna, Mexico, down on the Gulf somewhere, where they were baptizing in the bay. We were in a little church, and there were, the first time I'd ever seen it like this, but it was packed inside, it was packed outside. Every window, there were three or four heads poking in. If somebody would have came after it got started, they couldn't have got, I mean, maybe too deep in there. And that's what it was like here. People were crowded around them. They were pressed. And these guys, there was no room to receive them. They couldn't. They got this guy. They nowhere to go. They didn't do what some of us might have done. Get there and say, whoa, look at this, too crowded. You know, I'm not going to wait in line. Amen. We'll catch him at a later date. And that scenario might have never existed again. I'm giving these guys some credit. Not only did they undertake the task of carrying him there, but they overcame the obstacle of the press.
Amen. Yeah.
They went around, they used their head, they looked at it like Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus couldn't get to where the Lord was in Luke 19 because of the press, he didn't just give up and go home. He looked ahead, saw a sycamore tree, went to the effort, climb up in it. Amen. I wonder how many Christians in this day and age would go to that much trouble. I go to churches all the time. People won't go to the trouble to get in their car and go to church. Oh, it looks like rain. I'm standing literally. And I'm thinking, my soul. Amen. People don't call off work because it looks like rain. Or vacation. Or golf match. I presume, because I would have no clue. Actually, I don't want to know anything about golf. But these guys overcame the obstacle of the press, figured out how to get on the roof, went up the staircase on the outside. Amen. Got up there, and then they got a problem then, because they're on the roof. Jesus said, and they overcome the obstacle of the roof, and they took up tiles. And I appreciate them. And it says in 1 John 4 and verse 5, how about chapter 5 and verse 4? That'd be better. And whosoever is born of God, are you saved?
Amen.
It says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if you're saved in here, if you're born of God in here today, you have everything necessary to overcome the obstacles in your life. Like we preached one night about when you got saved, you've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. So, don't confuse, I didn't, for I couldn't. A friend of mine, Green Beret, out in Nevada, had a sweatshirt on. We were riding together one day, and on the front it said veteran, and on the back it wasn't that I could and you couldn't, it's that I did and you didn't. That's the way it is for the Christian life. The Bible says he'll make a way to escape the temptation that is common to man. You might have to say you didn't take advantage of. But you'll never be able to say you couldn't.
Amen.
As a child of God, because
Amen.
He'll enable you.
Amen.
So if you're saved here tonight, you can overcome things, and these guys are a good role model because that's what they did. They overcome the obstacles that was in front of them. Verse 4 tells us that they lowered him down through the hole they made in the roof, and I'm pretty sure that once they got him down, they just let go of the ropes. They just threw him in. And I've searched the scripture, and I don't see it written like that. Don't shake your head. No, I'm preaching right now. I ain't even looking at him no more. And why do I say that, Brother Spurgeon? Where'd you get that? Well, verse 5 said, when Jesus saw their faith. So where was their faith? Amen. They must have done something. And before he ever said anything to the sick guy, and he said something real important to him, the Bible tells he saw their faith. Amen. Verse 3 again, it said this, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now these men, they reach, born of four, he's on his bed, basically something like a blanket, I'm about ready to illustrate, and all of them were carrying her in, doing their part, pulling their weight. So, I'm going to need some help. I mean, other than the obvious things. But, so who can I get? Joel, come on. You're definitely. And Robert, Teach Mitt, I want you. All right, you guys spread that thing out. Now you figure out what it is. Perhaps. Okay, the straps are on top. Let's spread that thing out right there. Right there real nicely over. Come on a little bit. Set it down. And then, here. Please, let's get the handles on the outside and spread the blanket down. That will add authenticity to an Amazon portable gurney. You know, for this, I tried to get online. I wanted to buy an army stretcher. Amen. I mean the old-fashioned kind with the wood and the canvas. And I found one. I found one 20 miles from my house, and I'm getting ready. And I was reading the scripture, and it said it was on his bed. And I thought, that's not a stretcher. His bed would have more resembled a blanket. So I didn't just get a blanket. So I got this little portable thing, but the blanket is just for effect. So we're talking about more than a four. Now that means I need three more. You can help me. Can you help me? He went, no, I'll never sit in the front row again. All right. All right. So yeah. And who else? Who else? Let me see. Abel. Yes, you. You. No, don't turn around. I'm talking fine right at you. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's one, two, three, four. Baby boy, I need you to come lay down on the blank. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right, you get over here. You get over here. Praise the Lord. I need stronger men. That's definitely, I need stronger men. All right, who else? Who else? Who can help me here? I need somebody to lay on that thing. Who can do that? No, David, no. Not getting you either. Amen, amen, amen. All right. My Navy buddy. No, not Nick. Come on. Please, Brother Melvin. Yes. No, I'm not listening. All right. Now, you got an easy job. I just need you to pretend you're sick of the palsy. Please lay down. All right, let's get two on one side and two on the other. And you can, lay down. All right, get down there and get one of them handles. Grab one of them handles. There's a lot of handles, eight handles. Let's lift him up. Be very gentle. Based on the passage, they were probably real nice to the guy. They probably did swing him some. All right, so you guys working together, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come down this way. Come down this way. See how that's how that would work. And stop. And then, let's come down this way. And just, this is what it would be like. I don't know how far they had to come. Maybe they came for miles. Let's make a couple laps around the auditorium. Okay, down. Now, hey, sailor, do you need some Dramamine? Are they making you seasick? All right, let's bring him right back over here. Let's bring him right over here and lower him very gently. And I'm serious about that because I don't want to be sued. Use day. All right, that's what it says. They're born of four. So you get that, right? That's good. And four guys, was that hard? That wasn't hard. Four guys working together, they made light work of it. All right? Brother Robert, you can sit down. Now, I want you to picture something here. What if there was only three? There's only three. So you get there and you get there. And let's try to do it with three. Be gentle. Go around the pulpit. Walk him down there. Bring him back. He's looking a little queasy. All right, bring him back, bring him back. Does anybody have a barf bag? Those things from airplanes? Amen, okay, let's stop, let him down very gently. Now let me ask you, brother sick of the palsy person, are you still good?
I'm mostly still
good. I need a more direct answer, clear. Okay, all right, now son, you can, thank you for helping me. All right, so when there was four, it was real easy. And when there were three, it could still be done. Now, give me your opinion. Was it easier or harder with four or three?
It was harder.
It was harder with three.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, makes sense. It's just logical. But now, what if there's only two? What if this guy only had two people that were willing to help him? So let's it'd probably help to get one on each side or something. All right, now carry him on down there. Well, it gets worse than that. All right, bring him back. See, he made a crack about the army at lunch the other day. Oh, no, he didn't. Set him down very gently. All right, now let's take a poll here. All right, men, the ones that did the work, was that, how did that compare with when there were three?
Not hard.
How did that compare when there were four?
A lot harder.
How about you? Which was the best for you?
Yes.
I'll take it. All right. But here we go. Son, you, thank you. And, I know. What if he only had one friend that was willing to help him? Now you can do it. You can throw him over your shoulder. You can drag him by the hair of his. No, he can't do that. But give it a try. Give it a try. However you want to do it. Yeah, I'm not here. I'm just a narrator. So. Pretty good. All right. Now, thank you both very much. Brother Melvin, there's your stuff. If you could take that and just put it anywhere. Thank you. You're a good soldier. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Okay. Amen. Now, let's face it. Let's face it. Now you know why I got him. When all four men were working together to get somebody to Jesus Christ, it went much smoother, didn't it? And the whole point of this message is to emphasize the importance of us working together. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a social club, and we've had good time gathering ourselves together this week, recharging our batteries. That's what a revival meeting is for. But the reality is we get back in the fight. Amen. And if we'll work together, will you pray to God for opportunities? He'll send them. And that's a good way to illustrate the fact that if we'll work together, not competing.
Amen.
Not four guys saying, all right, this is what we need to do, and you do this. No, I think I should be in the front. No, I want to be in charge. And that's the way some churches operate. People are competing with one another. And we're not to be in competition with one another. We're not here for preeminence of ourselves in any way, shape, or form. Our goal, the Bible tells us that we're to work together for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And so the message is titled, Carrying Your End. Amen. All right, let me see what else I got here. Amen. We live in a world that is paralyzed. Amen. By sin and by fear and by lies and by doubt.
Yes, sir.
And by false hope. And this world desperately needs some Christians just like you and I did. When I say Christians, I'm talking about men and ladies both. Need some people to work together in spite of the obstacles, the hardships, and the sacrifices to get people to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It can be done. One person can do something for God too, but man, now what a good illustration of a church working together. So let me tell you some things about working together. Number one, in the home. In the home, it's important. You know, when you get married, and this goes for the men and the ladies, it ain't all about you anymore. Amen. You both made a commitment to the other. Amen. I mean, to honor them, to take care of them, etc., etc. The man's got responsibilities. The woman's got responsibilities. Amen. I took a marriage, divorce, and remarriage class in Bible Institute years ago, and the preacher said, it was just men, I think, in the class, but he said, the true test, you really want to find out how selfish You really are yourself.
Yes.
Didn't say he didn't love, weren't saved, love God, believe the book. But if you ever want to find out how selfish you are, get married. Because now you have got the responsibility to take care of somebody else. And that includes your resources and your time. And ladies, it goes both ways. Amen. Ain't all about you anymore. Now the two become one. Amen. Amen. And then he said, I'll tell you what, I don't get to do much counseling. Amen. Here's why. Because my counseling sessions usually go like this. Get a grip. Some of you guys can sit and listen for hours. I'm glad I'm not a pastor, because some of the stuff Christians, full-grown Christians, whine and complain about that are so anti-Bible. I don't get called into counsel much. I mean, last resort I do. That's when I told the guy about the red lipstick. I have had an opportunity to talk to a couple of marriage couples that were just at each other all the time, and that's not, I didn't take a class. I did. I think I did. See, I don't even remember. That's how important it was. You know what I told them? I asked the Lord, how do I help these people? You know what I told them? We live in a day and age where everything's recorded, everything's... I said, you two need to take your children over to Grandma's house, and you need to go home, and you need to watch that video again of your wedding ceremony. Because, boy, that day a man and a woman are standing there, and they are pledging undying love to honor God before God. They're making these vows. And usually when strife gets a marriage on end, it's because you forgot all about them promises you made to God. And it's sad, but it happens. And sometimes it happens because one party, the other, maybe both, are just plain selfish.
Amen.
And everybody wants to do what they want to do. Well, if that's you, amen, then don't get married.
Amen.
Amen. And then the preacher said in class, he said, if you really want to find out how selfish you are, have children. Because now you got young people that are totally dependent upon you. And they're expensive. Because everything's expensive. Tennis shoes are expensive. And I hear people, I said, what? I didn't have a pair of shoes that cost $100 till I was 50. Okay, 60. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to raise a family, you got to take care of you. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
And I tell you what, it ain't never going to work if the man and the wife don't figure out how to work together. Because kids learn how to play one against the other.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so that's number one. You got to learn to work together in a home. I'm talking about the end of this thing is for the glory of Jesus Christ. But if your home's a train wreck, what are you going to do for God?
Yes.
I tell you, there's a verse that I used one time in a marriage conference. And it's written to a church. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing, that's one of them hard to understand words. And so I'm going to give you the definition. It means nothing.
Yeah.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that describes our relationship here, but man, apply it to a home. Apply it to a man and woman. I mean, think, can you imagine having to go into counseling because each one's trying to, you know, accommodate the other? That's exactly the opposite of where the problems are. Problems come from selfishness. Amen. Often. Amen. So, you gotta work together in a home, but you gotta work together in the church. Amen. Listen, It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. For a local church to be anything more than just another social organization, people have to work together for a common goal, just like these four men did in Mark chapter 2. Amen. They have to work together to get people in Christ, to Christ. And Paul put it like this in Philippians 1 and verse 27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, news travels fast, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, put it in context. Philippians. It's an epistle written to a church. And we're supposed to work together and stand together for the faith of the God, not to win a baseball game, for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to get all the importance of working together to do what we're supposed to do what we were left here in this godless world. It says there, it's on your wall out there, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And truth of the matter is, there's no way any of us are going to do that. Amen. Well, not individually, not personally. Some of you have been to different countries. Amen. Preach the gospel where you were. But collectively, to ever do that, collectively works. We've got to help missionaries and we have to pray for them. I mean, I'm preaching the gospel tonight in Mongolia. We were telling Brother Billy and Sister Debbie today about our nephew. He's been over there 18 years. He came home for 6 months. He said, this is not good stewardship of God's money, and he is staying on the field.
Yes.
I got so much respect for him.
Amen.
Amen. But I'll tell you what, I got a part in what he's doing. And you guys, I know them, some of them guys out on the wall, them families I've met, changing planes in New York City. Amen. And I know you got a big part in what they're doing and the ministries in Mexico. That's how God set it up.
Amen.
So that we can work together. I don't guess anybody in here individually is financing Joe West. But I'll tell you what, between all of you, he's doing okay.
Yes.
That's how God set it up. That way, no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
But we got to work together. You guys do a good job of that. Aim as far as I can see, what I can see. And for those that have answered the call to go, we got to help them financially. Listen, it says this in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. I had a precious saint of God one time we were going through, and she said, Brother Spurgeon, she has fixed income, you know, tender saint and prayer warrior. She said, I wish I could do more to help you guys. She was talking about this. And she said, but all I can do is pray. And I looked at her and I said, nobody could do more for us. No, $1 million a month wouldn't help us as much as a faithful prayer warrior. And we can pray. We can pray for, you can pray for your guys. I hope you pray for evangelists.
Amen.
Because we covet your prayers. We need your prayers. We're going to have to work together to get the gospel. I mean, around the world. He said it, the Lord said in Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Makes it sound to me like, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, it's all important. Amen. Old preacher friend of mine, your pastor knew him, Brother Lindell knew him, Jack Wood over in Houston, he's very mission-minded, and I heard this story once that if a missionary called Shady Acres in Houston and called him and says they'd like to come to the missions conference or come and present his work, you know, and he would say, all right, you're going to this field, give me your pastor's phone number. And he would call the guy's pastor. And he'd say, all right, so-and-so called me, and I want to know one thing. What is he doing at home? What has he been doing prior to surrendering to the mission field? And if the guy just all of a sudden one day he's in the pew and the next day he's going to be a missionary and he's on the road, he said, I ain't supporting nobody that isn't involved in the ministries in his own church.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the way my preacher was. Amen. But I'll tell you what, amen. We have got to pray. We have got to support. I'm all for foreign missions, but I'm called to them. I'm not a missionary. I'm an evangelist, but I'm called to America. And, I made no apologies about it. My theory is this. When Americans stop getting saved, when Americans stop getting encouraged to live for God, amen. When American Christians get so caught up in politics and conspiracy theories and sports teams, is the Super Bowl tonight? That's how much I care. Amen. And hobbies and all that stuff. Say, what are you saying? When the local church dries up and gets its focus off the world and the souls, foreign missions is over.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, one of the reasons the Lord is sparing America in spite of the mess that she is, is because the gospel's still going out of here around the world more than any place else. And that might change. I don't know. But I don't want to be part. I was in a motorcycle club. I was a paratrooper in the Army. That was cool. I was a part of a motorcycle club. You know, that wasn't so cool, but I thought it was for 15 years. I got no time to be part of no stinking social organization. I got saved and God put me in the church of the living God. And like I said, I said it tonight, I say it other times. This is the most exciting thing I've ever seen.
Amen.
Amen. And it's exciting when Christians work together for the cause of Christ. I'm going to close this night in this meeting with a quote from William Booth. And that's a guy that founded what? Salvation Army in England. I actually went over there and preached several revivals in a hall that he founded. He said this, not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear the Lord Jesus Christ bid you go and pull sinners out of the fires of hell. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and listen to the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters not to come there. Then, you do that, then look Jesus Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether or not you'll join heart and soul in the march to publish his gospel to the world.
Amen.
Boy, that says it, boy. We are all called to do something for Jesus Christ. And there is no limit to what we can do if we could work together. And those four guys, each carrying their end, got the job done. And the guy that got the blessing, amen, I don't even realize what he got in on it. And we take a stand and we make the effort to live for Christ and people get saved. And some of them, done, they have no clue what went in to getting the gospel to them.
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus Christ knows.
Yes, he does.
I want to be part of something he's doing. And I'm glad God put me in a crowd of Christians that want to be a part of something he's doing.
Yeah.
And not only just to be a part of it, but the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good work. That's what we're supposed to be doing for one another. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for great grace these last 10 days. Pray you bless these people for their generosity. Thank you for the gospel being able to be presented clearly. Thank you for those that got saved, for Pedro getting baptized. Amen. Lord, there's people in this room right now that need to be saved. I pray you make it easy for them.
Amen.
Pray you'd give them life and breath until they pull the trigger on this all-important decision. Amen. And just pray you'd help us stay in the fight till you decide to call it.
Amen.
Whether that's individually or our prayer is collectively, the family plan. We're listening to the trumpet, but thou knowest the time. And there's souls that need to be rescued like we've sung about. And that's why you're holding off. And I'm glad you held off till 1990. I'm sure Pedro's glad you held off till 2023. And there's more work to be done. So help us not get fixated on ourselves and our little issues, our problems, our questions, our world.
Amen.
And realize that God's got a plan.
Amen.
And He'll let us in on it.
Yes.
Father, help us to desire to get in on it and keep some of the nickel dime stupid stuff out of the way, because we're prone to it.
Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you
for so many things. Thank you for letting my wife and I be here this week. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.